Okay, I'm back. How's that?
So, Peter, you've been off for about 5 minutes, probably.
Yeah, I know it's kind of totally disconnected. Okay, let me get myself
Yeah.
back on. Okay.
Yeah, so it seems all right now. If you
Good. Yeah,
could go back and.
I had to go and reconnect anyway. Start again. So I'll carry on. I'll trade the
Yeah.
points once more, and let's see if
Yeah,
the
brilliant.
camera doesn't disturb it this time. Okay. So the points for the spleen are below the armpit. Few inches about the hand width below the armpit on the side of the ribs. So both sides, you take two fingers and you tap like this. Okay. So there's the points. Let's go back to where I was. Okay. So I said, in order to visualize then, try this point actually when you enter actually trying to visualize something. Now start off with something that's not stressful, nothing you're trying to manifest, having anxiety about. So it could be something easily you don't want to imagine, like if you want to sit back and imagine being on a beach somewhere. Tap first. It helps take the anxiety away and bring back the sense of possibility. And then you can just imagine being there. And as I pointed out, imagination isn't something you do rigidly, trying to visualize in perfect detail. It's letting it just flow, like a child, dreaming, daydreaming, basically. It's the most natural thing you can do. So let's go back to some simple examples. First of all, tap. Can you visualize a train? It could be an electric one, it could be a steam train with steam billowing out of it. These images flow quite naturally, don't they? I'm not trying to say in further detail, but the image is there, isn't it? That's imagination. Is anybody so far not able to do this? Can anybody not actually visualize some of the things I mentioned, like an apple or a train, or even flying through the air like Superman?
Somebody's saying that they know how a train looks, but she can't see it in her mind.
So when you say in your heart it looks, what is in your mind? There's a sense of some image, isn't there? Another simple way to start describing it. Okay, you can imagine a train. I said you don't have to see it in perfect detail, but start to describe it. What's it look like? First of all, is it a steam train or electric train? Modern one or an old one? How long are the carriages? Even when you start describing it, you have to actually have it in your mind. Okay, so you're a steam train. Fine. Can you imagine steam coming out of the chimney? What does it sound like?
I know how it looks, but and I know the words. I mean, I can describe it in words, but I don't see a clear picture.
I said that it's not about seeing a clear picture. To imagine, you have to take it out of this kind of school set. You have to do everything perfectly in detail. This is what's blocking you. It's become a rigid mind structure. Imagination isn't like that. It's like a daydream. And also, the more you relax, the more you can do it. When you get anxious, you can't do it because you get tense. So another thing you do is first of all, relax. Take a couple of deep breaths. Let go of all that tension. Breathe deeply. And don't make this into something that you have to do. You can't fail at it. It's not like a test, not just like an exam. There's no points for getting it right, so no punishment for getting it wrong. Okay, take all that away. You see, like a child daydreaming. And the more you relaxed you are, the more you daydream. So try closing your eyes for a minute, really relaxing, letting your mind drift off. First of all, when you start to relax, all kinds of images go through your mind, don't they? Not necessarily what you want, but it's like it's still your mind's playing. Even when you're falling asleep, you have what you call the hypnagogic images. The little images go through your mind before you fall asleep, almost like dreamlike. Things pop up out of nowhere because this is how the imagination plays. It's always exercising itself, stretching itself, and doing stuff. But we tend to ignore it and try and focus on the logical mind. So if you totally relax and not try and do anything, it's almost as if it's like an anxiety there. And if you can't do it, you start tapping the points again. Tapping the points can release some of that anxiety and come back to the possibility. Gets rid of all this conditioning, says you can't do it. It's all memories of times at school when you had hard work to do and it was too difficult. The thing is, none of this was difficult. The work they gave you was difficult, but your imagination wasn't. With all this conditioning coming in, if you have this thing, it has to be done this way, or I'm wrong and I can't do it. It's all childhood stuff. Now, the thing you can do is try and release those memories. If you're having anxiety coming up about trying to visualize something, remember the 411 minutes points at the bottom of the head. You touch really lightly across here. So what you naturally do when you're stressed, you do this when you're stressed because it starts taking the stress away. So think of those back in the classroom at school when you're being told to concentrate and you can't do it. You hold these points as you go through those memories and the stress starts falling away. Now, this useful thing about these points, again, separate from the spleen points, these are actually points which activate the front brain, which is where choice happens. The back brain stores the automatic pattern, the processes from the past, which become automatic, all the reactions and so on. The front brain has choice. As soon as you start touching these points, you may find you go back to a dreamlike state anyway. You can go back over the memories of the past. You can relive the whole thing. See, it's another issue. A lot of people can't visualize the good stuff, but is it difficult to actually remember the bad stuff? When you remember a teacher telling you what to do and how humiliated you were, and how difficult you felt something was hard and all the traumas of your life. When you hold these points, you find they can come up quite easily. And we need to release those. So first of all, when you're trying to concentrate and you can't, just remember the school classrooms, all the times you're told to concentrate, hold these points. Allow yourself to experience that stress. Again, you don't have to do this perfectly either. You don't have to see in perfect detail and ask you to describe every wrinkle in your teacher's face. Just remember the atmosphere. How did it feel? So a bigger part of them visualization, it's the emotion that goes with it. It's not just visual. Imagination involves hearing, touch, smell, and particularly the emotion. So you may go back to the classroom. How did it feel? You touch these points. Remember the stress, how to sit there in a boring old lesson, having to concentrate and feeling you can't do it. Might bring up many things since then, where you feel you have to concentrate and can't do it. Things are expected of you that you can't do. All these memories of not being able to do something, not being adequate. You just hold these points. Let yourself go through it. You welcome the feeling.
The problem is in school, they wanted us to use intellect.
Yeah, exactly.
I have no problem with that.
That's it, that's conditioning.
Yeah.
Left brain activity.
Yeah, but imagination wasn't something they...
No, they don't encourage that support.
Allowed you to use.
Exactly. So there's almost like a disempowerment from your teachers there. So another thing you need to do is take your power back from the teachers, from the school, from the whole structure. And again, you don't have to visualize it perfectly. Imagination, as it doesn't be totally clear, is just almost like pretending, daydreaming. So for instance, these teachers around, you imagine them, you close your eyes, and if you remember those teachers, in your mind you pick up a stick and draw a circle clockwise on the ground around yourself. You see all these teachers who told you not to use your imagination, but had to use your rational mind. See them holding the power they've taken from you, and you reach out and take it back. Now, it's not the visualization that's important, it's the feeling. How does it feel when you're struggling with that teacher to take the power back they've robbed you of? You may actually feel the struggle as you do it. You know, you take that power, you're going to take it back. Once you finally got it back, you can have a breath of relief, and it's like, yeah, you've got it now. They're outside the circle, I can't enter. You've got your power back. So far more important than actually trying to visualize very clearly in detail is the feeling. Imagination goes with emotion. See, when we work in terms of metaphysics and magic, the imagination often goes with desire. That's emotion too. You imagine something that you really want, you feel the desire, you feel the joy of it, you feel you have the emotion of what it's like to have it. That's imagination. That's the dream. And you begin to expect it because you get into that dream. Same when you're taking power back, for instance, you know what it feels like. This person take my power away. You might feel angry, you might feel frustrated, you might feel disempowered. You're going to reach out and you take it back. And then you see, they can't tell you how to imagine because that was natural to you. Nobody told you how to do that. They tried to stop you. But imagine it was natural when you're a child. You could sit around just daydreaming about anything you like. Now, there's a reason we do this. If imagination is the most powerful tool, we need to actually sharpen it sometimes, don't we? We exercise it. So that's why we daydream. It's not a waste of time. Those who are in the stack of the rational mind will tell you wasted time, you need to concentrate. No. Daydreaming is simply allowing your imagination to stretch because it's a powerful tool. You need it. So there's a couple of things to do here. There's tapping the points. There's releasing the stress. taking a power back from the school who taught you not to imagine. And it's also letting go of the conditioning that imagination is difficult. A lot of people say they can't visualize because they're trying to, this rigid way of doing it, focusing on the mind. And actually, focus on the mind itself is attention. When the mind is focused, you're in a beta state. Imagination works far better in the alpha or theta, the more relaxed states. This is why you can't do it when you're trying to concentrate. You can with practice, but it's a lot of hard work, and that's not how it's supposed to work. It's in the more relaxed state of mind that you're more open to the unconscious anyway. You need to do it in the alpha and theta states rather than the beta. That's not where the magic happens, you see. We want to relax. So it was always a good idea before your visualization to take a couple of minutes to relax. Take a few deep breaths, relax, tap some points if you need to, release any stress around it. Then just go back to being a child and let the imagination play. Any questions so far? I've seen a few here. Somebody's asking.
Hello, Peter. I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Good.
Oh, yeah. Great. I made it. Sorry, everyone.
Oh, good. Better late than never. Great. Okay.
Yeah. Some things happened that took me off my course. Let's just say that. Quite literally took me off my course. Right. So we do have a couple of questions. Do you need to visualize the goal daily, or is this a one-off thing?
It's good to do it daily. See, what happens when you're actually trying to manifest a goal? Every time you do it, you're bringing it closer. There's a process going on until the thing manifests. See, what happens is that you are nurturing a future, and it's also nurturing you. The more energy you put into it, the more the wave is coming back. And this is actually an important part of the process. You see, when I visualize something, I'm trying to build expectation as well. When I imagine what I want and put the image out there, I then sit back and just receive from that future. And there's a feeling of what it's like to already have it. This is what builds expectation. The next day when I do it, it's easier because I've actually already had a little bit more expectation because that future is getting clearer and getting closer. Then do it the next day again, and it's like it's a bit closer. Gets to a point where you think, oh, it's going to happen any day now. You can feel it because expectation's growing, then it happens. So it's a process you're nurturing. It doesn't take long, a minute a day. Quite often when people try and struggle with it and visualize ages every day, again, they're in anxiety, they're in tension, they're not actually relaxing. They're reinforcing this ability that this belief that it's difficult. And we have to get rid of that one. It's not difficult. You know how long do you have to visualize for something to actually work? 33 seconds. That's how long it takes all the neurons of the brain to fire when you start to visualize something. And then the message goes out to the universe, and that's all it is. You put the instruction out. If you visualize for 33 seconds every day, but in a relaxed state, you know, it's best to take a couple of minutes to relax and then just have, 33 seconds to visualize. You probably then begin to imagine it more clearly without anxiety, and there it is. And the next day, do it again, and you're building a stage dream, and it's getting clearer and clearer, day by day. And then it'll happen. See, what gets in the way of people's technique is the fact that they make it hard. If you go back to being a child and just imagining without having to concentrate, without having to see things in perfect detail and having a structured way of doing it, you realize it's natural. The more you imagine, the more expectation builds. So long as you're willing to receive it as well. Again, it's not all about doing, it's about receiving. To receive, it means when I've actually put the thought out there of what I want and they just relax a moment afterwards, what's happening, a wave is coming back to that future or what it feels like to already have it. When I let that feeling in, that's when expectation starts to grow. I'm receiving from the future as well as putting it out into it. It's a double quantum wave. I'm creating it, it's creating me. I'm nurturing it, it's nurturing me. It's really natural when you actually go into it this way. It's only because we become so left brain and we structured at school how we have to concentrate that we actually lost those natural abilities. Okay, any more questions?
Yes. When I take back power, I tend to feel angry at the person too, but is this a good idea?
Oh, yes, it is. You see, quite often anger is there because it's a form of assertiveness. Until you get angry, you don't actually do anything. When somebody's abused you or taken something from you, quite often the anger is what makes you get up and do something about it. And when you've been disempowered, you can't even feel angry anymore. So it's quite natural. The first thing you feel when you take your power back is anger. That's actually making you assertive, saying, I'm not going to put up with this anymore. Now, the anger doesn't have to stay because it actually wants to manifest its assertiveness. The more you take your power back, the more assertive you become rather than angry. But you always go through a stage of anger when you until you get there. It must become assertiveness.
Is it possible to have a take your power back talisman or psionic trend symbol that you can make available that is dynamic and adapts to your needs, please?
That is possible, yes. I mean, there is my course on take the power back, which is symbol visualization, but yes, it's possible to do a psionic program. I have been playing with that. I'll probably make a talisman of that and put it out soon as well then.
Thank you very much. Can you talk about the gratitude wave after visualizing? How long should we sit in it?
As long as you like, because if you enjoy it, again, there shouldn't be a structure with these things because your imagination is so natural. But of course, if you haven't got much time, you won't do it so long. But you know, if you have got time to relax, you just enjoy it as long as you're enjoying it, basically. So when you've actually visualized something and you sit back and relax and that feeling starts coming in, you feel, oh yeah, I can feel the feeling of the future comes in. I've already got it. It feels nice. Feels good. Feel the gratitude. And as long as you want to feel it, really, basically. Even feeling a little bit is letting it in, you see. If you feel, as soon as you feel gratitude, you let that wave in and it's working. So there's no fixed time. If you felt it for a second, it's happened. But if you want to enjoy it and for a bit longer, you're actually going back with that creative flow better. You're actually relying more on the imagination and getting out of this rigid structure, you see. And that's part of what it's about. Magic is so natural, but we're so conditioned out of us. We almost have to like break down this conditioning and just let ourselves sort of relax and play a bit more. Do all things they didn't let you do at school.
Thank you very much. We have a number of pre-submitted questions today. So that's all of the questions in the chat so far with regards to today's topic. If you have any more questions about visualization, manifesting, then please do type away. In the meantime, Peter, are you okay if I go over to the pre-submitted ones?
Yes, carry on.
Okay. So is there a difference between these two? Visualization versus seeing images automatically, so without doing anything. It happens to you without doing anything. Is this imagination? What is the difference, please?
It is imagination, but obviously you're not focusing, because you're not actually using it to create anything. Quite often it's what they called hypnagogic images. It happens when you relax, when you're falling asleep, or sometimes when you're meditating, you go to deep relaxation. As the stress releases, all these images come up. It's very similar to what happens in a dream. Dreams are there for many reasons. They solve the stress of your life, they solve your future, bring all kinds of realizations to you. And the same thing happens in the daydream. You're relaxing and suddenly images start coming up because your mind is doing its thing, your imagination is playing, your brain's doing what it needs to do to cleanse itself and prepare itself. So that's a natural process, you know, that's actually beneficial. But it's not the same as actually focusing on what you want to create. What I'm talking about with visualization is actually using the imagination creatively, imagining what you want to happen, deciding the future you want, what you desire. It's about focusing the imagination on your desires. That's what I'm talking about here.
Can one be too much in the imagination?
No, as it's the most important tool. Everything around you is imagined. The science has proven that nothing's really solid. Nothing's there until you expect it. It really is our most powerful tool. Everything around you is only there because you're imagining it. So your whole life was first imagined. If it's your most powerful tool, you should be using it more. So who can say there's a limit? Who should tell you that when it's too much? Of course, you can be too much in the daydream without giving it direction. But when you're actually using it creatively and actually thinking of all the things you want to create, that's very creative. You constantly think of the futures you're going to create and desiring and imagining and expecting them, they will happen. And this should be a fun thing to do rather than something you have to concentrate and work hard at. If it becomes natural to be in imagination, then all day long you keep imagining all the things you want to happen, and they happen. It's wonderful. It's a good space to be in.
Oh, lost it. Can you talk about all the reasons why there are receiving blocks or letting go to allow this process?
It's mainly because we live in the chauvinistic world where the feminine has been denied. So the male is about doing, receiving is a feminine energy. So even in our work, we think we've got to work hard and make it happen, but what about receiving it? If you create something but receive it, it hasn't actually come into your reality. You created it out there somewhere. People see the feminine as weak. They think receiving is weak. If you receive somebody else, they think it's proving that they could create the reality better than you do. People see it as a weakness. Actually, it's a strength. See, when you're not receiving, there's something missing. There's a resonance not there. We have the power of receiving, then you receive, everything comes to you. But it's not understood rationally because it's not a male energy. It's a resonance. to be in that resonance, you have to be in the feminine side of yourself, the soul, which isn't about doing, it's about being. This is something that's not even defined in our world, is it? When somebody asks you who you are, you should tell them what you do, like a job description. Somebody says, who are you? You might say a doctor or a painter or whatever it is. It's like, no, they are what you do. Do people even have words to describe what they are? Do they even know how to be? These are things which are there, but their language isn't even dealing with them so that they don't get nurtured. So really, it's about being in the feminine. When you're in the masculine, you're kind of controlled, focused. And focus is good, but without the imagination, it's not complete. So really what you're letting in is the feminine here. The imagination and the receiving come from the feminine, as well as emotion and feeling. Masculine is will and action. Feminine is imagination and feeling. Masculine is focusing. The imagination and the feminine is receiving. So really it's about opening up the feminine side of yourself again. Now it's just to be, to imagine, to dream, to feel, and to receive, and not see them as weak. There's a lot of conditioning that those things are weaker. The whole world is trying to say that the women are weaker than men, maybe in the physical level, but what about the other levels? Actually, in fact, in the magic, every plane is reversed to the last one. If men are stronger emotionally, if men are stronger physically, women are stronger emotionally. If men are stronger mentally, women are stronger spiritually. It's reversed on each plane. So in the end, we need both to be whole. But the chauvinistic world we're in keeps focusing on the male qualities and doesn't actually recognize the power of the feminine. It doesn't actually see any power in emotion. It doesn't honor our spirituality. It's all about physical and mental, all the male things. So the first thing is to actually get rid of the chauvinism and actually honor the feminine and realize it's just as important. Our emotions, our spirituality, our imagination, our receiving, these are all important powers too. If you see receiving as a power, you can nurture it. It's not just something that's entirely passive. See, some people like to receive, but they don't. Why not? Why doesn't it come to you? The energy of receiving isn't there. It's a resonance. The block is saying, no, I don't receive because I have to be more male. I have to be strong and all these things and prove I can do it by myself, be independent. Although independence is a great quality, it doesn't deny receiving. No one's an island. You know, we don't exist on our own. There's many things out there. We're never as independent as we think. We don't want to be reliant on people around us too much, but we are reliant. Some people grow our food, some people build their houses, you know, everybody's doing different things. We can't do it all ourselves. We're all receiving. We'll have to interact and become whole. There's almost far too much focus on the independence. We need a certain amount of independence, but I don't think it's total. So really this is about understanding the balance of the masculine and feminine here. When you honor the feminine, understanding that receiving, imagination, feeling, all very wonderful qualities, you can allow them to happen and you can nurture them. You don't feel weak when you're receiving. And when it comes to receiving the future, it's the same. Okay, I've done the work of creating. I only took 33 seconds. It's not hard work. So, but that's enough to actually give myself a pat on the back and enjoy the result, isn't it? Or I should have to make it hard work. I can give myself a good pat on the back just between 33 seconds of imagining. That's what I'm talking about here. We don't have to just have a hard work to prove we deserve it. I'll imagine for a few seconds and sit back and just receive the benefits of that. There's a future out there, me already having this thing. As I let that wave in, I can begin to feel what it's like and therefore feel gratitude. When you stop making it difficult, it's easy. It's the male mind focusing on force, concentration, all the male qualities and the mentality and so on. That's actually blocking from the feminine. And a lot of magic requires the feminine. Okay.
Sorry, on mute. During receiving visualization, there are scenes and pictures that come naturally of all sorts. How do you ensure that the pictures you receive are the ones that I actually want to receive? For example, if I want to receive images from past for the purpose of learning as movie clips one by one, how do I do it?
That's memory. It's different. See, memory... It's quite different from visualization because it's one's future, one's past, actually uses different parts of the brain. Also activates the brain in a different way. Now, you can actually activate this quite easily by realizing the position of the eye moves. If you try to remember something from the past, which way does the eye move? Now, when you're actually trying to look at this freely, you probably won't do this, but if you should let your eyes flow freely for a minute, remember something in the past, and you mind kind of the eyes look up that way. When you look at, when you try and visualize something new, they look a different way, don't they? Up to the left or up to the right. Those are the positions of future and past. And it can be swapped, it can be different for some people, so I'll tell you which one you feel what it is yourself. So find these eye positions. First of all, imagine something you've seen before. Like your first car. Do you remember that? When you actually remember it, your eyes naturally want to move one way or the other, don't they? If you allow them to. Now, imagine something totally new nobody's ever done before. Like, what does arsenic meringue look like? When you visualize that, your eyes go the other way, don't they? That's the difference between past and future and how the brain works. You can actually use these eye modalities if you want to. If you want to actually picture something new, turn your eyes up that way when you visualize it. Not looking too far, just a gentle movement of the eye. And you find that it activates part of the brain which realizes new things. When you look the other way, it's easy to remember things. It's the eye modes which actually affect how the brain works. Naturally, when you're thinking, your eyes move all over the place as you go through different thoughts. And it's good to explore those. So it's another tool we can use. And if you're actually trying to visualize something new rather than memory, be aware of the eye positions.
What if ugly pictures come up? Do you welcome it?
Yes, because it's probably something you need to release. If it's ugly, there's probably some uncomfortable emotions attached to it that's still blocking you. And as I said before in other talks, if you were here, every time you visualize something new, trying to create something new, it triggers old creations to reassert themselves. If they're not fully released by welcoming feelings and letting go and discreating, they're still there emotionally trying to happen again. So it's important that you let them out and finish the process, finish the experience so they don't happen anymore. Once you've felt them, they stop happening. See something coming bad comes up, welcome the feeling till it passes. Then you come back to visualize the good stuff.
Quickly going back to the eye positions, mm-hmm. Do the eye positions change according to whether someone is left or right-handed?
Not necessarily. Sometimes it does, but it's like seems to be a whole different process. Some people work the other way, and you know, and you can't really tell by your hand. You're going to have to find out for yourself just by seeing the way your eyes go when you think about these things.
And where do I keep my eyes when I visualize current egregore?
An egregore isn't necessarily something that you're seeing. See, the eyes are mentioned more through the visual part of the experience. Sound would be different. For instance, if you imagine a sound you've heard before, like go back to this train one, can you imagine the sound of a train? If it's something you've heard before, you find your eyes look straight to one side. If you try and imagine something you've never heard before, they go straight to the other side. So it's rather up to each side, it's straight to each side. Taste is a little different, but it's just above the vertical. Smell is just below the vertical. Ahead, but just slightly up. You find the different positions. Your emotion is actually down to one side. So you can explore the different eye positions to see how different senses come into it. And this is actually a good way of building a picture. So for instance, if I want to actually create something, first of all, as you imagine, I stop the vision, I'll look up that way. I'll have my eyes closed while looking up to the right in my head. And that helps you visualize. But I think being in the sound, to look straight that way. Obviously, it's a new one. I'm visualizing something new. So my goes that way. Then imagine the taste. If it's something you can taste, obviously, depends what you're trying to create here. I'll look just below this kind of horizontal. Then I bring the emotions to look down to the right. As I mentioned, the feeling of this thing. Once I've got all those, I'm going to let my eyes flit around as I flick from one emotion to the other until they all come together. And I've got the whole thing with the image, sound, touch, feeling, emotion. The eye positions could be actually used to trigger those.
Does it make sense to visualize being completely connected to the subconscious mind consciously to be able to exclude unconscious creation as well as possible so that I take myself out of chaotic creations as good as possible?
That's almost trying to make it too masculine again, how we structure things. Remember, we are naturally in flow with the unconscious and the things we do all the time. If we remember that how natural and easy creation is because you imagine things all the time, the power of the unconscious is with us, more we relax. When you're dreaming, you're open to the unconscious. When you're in a deep state of relaxation, go through meditations, you get in touch with the unconscious. It's really then the brain waves have to go down to a deeper state, from the beta down to the alpha and theta states. Then the unconscious is more open. trying to do it in an artificial way is like you're trying to bring in a mental picture of that. We structured it, put it into a box. That's very much the male way of doing stuff, using form to force content. Relaxation is a natural key. That's how we go deeper. And also understanding that the tools of imagination, desire, and expectation are the power tools of creation. Nobody's got more than those. If somebody's creating the world better than you are, it's because they're using those tools better. They haven't got anything you haven't got. So rather than actually trying to make these extra little ways of doing things, just realize it's already there. You know how to use the power of the unconscious. And actually, in order to purge the unconscious, it happens naturally too, because the memories come up from the past, you can release them. That is the process we are born to do. There's nothing easier than that. Trying to add other little boxes where you can put things in is only making it more complicated and more difficult. It's better to actually go with the natural flow until it becomes easy because you get used to it. At the process of discreation, so you visualize something, the negative comes up, you welcome it until it's gone. Actually, it gets very easy when you allow it to be. You don't need any extra tools about that because this is the easiest way to do it.
On mute again, sorry. So the world needs more imagination instead of doing. Is this perhaps the promoting argument for a bigger position of the arts in the society?
It can be. See, interesting how they look at arts, because although, people actually get into those, usually they've got some extra money, because first of all, the survival needs to be there first. They almost they still make it secondary. And that's just actually realizing, no, this is actually part of our whole experience of life. What's life about otherwise? It's an interesting story, I remember, from Winston Churchill during the war, when in the middle of this war, he spent a lot of money on art suddenly. And somebody says, well, why are you spending on this when we've got war? And he says, well, what are we fighting for? So that was a good example of how people often think in terms of making this less important. Yes, art's there because they nurture a different side of ourselves, more creative, feminine side. That's not just about survival and getting things done and success. It's about actually living and experiencing. So it definitely does need to be there as part of the balance of our life.
How do you bypass the conscious mind's grip on the visualization receiving process? Is there a way to minimize the conscious mind energy from it interfering?
Relaxation. As I pointed out, when we actually focus strongly in the mind, in the beta state, is the highest vibration, the fastest brain wave. As you relax, you go into alpha. When you're in dream state, you're into theta. Now, we don't have to go fully into theta, though it's helpful, but even just relaxing, you start going to alpha. That's when the mind starts to want to dream a little bit rather than actually being focused. Therefore, it's really about doing the opposite of what you think, not focusing, relaxing instead until dreaming becomes natural. Relaxation is the key.
Can you repeat the eye positions, please?
Okay. For visual, it's up and to the one side. Know that memory is up to the left, new things up to the right. Sound is straight to the left or straight to the right. Smell is just above the horizontal. Taste is just below the horizontal. Emotion is down to one side or the other. New emotions are old emotions. Okay. Touch, there should be another one there. And put touch in somewhere. I'll try that one out. Imagine touching something. That's more straight down.
I can't imagine what it's like to imagine something I've never smelt before.
That's an interesting thing. That's why it's creative. You might not actually really smell like that in real life, but actually you can imagine. You can all imagine things you've had before. The thing is, the sense of smell is most connected to unconscious. That's why it's so important in magic, where you scent and incenses and oils and everything, because it's so easily, as an impression, you've smelled an oil and you remember it, can't you? You know what rose smells like, you know what jasmine smells like. Those are very easy, aren't they? Much easier than visualizing a picture. When it comes to actually imagining a new smell, well, your mind is playing then. It's like, okay, what about something else? You would never smell like that.
Yeah. That's it. So if I try to make it up, smell something new, my mind immediately goes to rose.
Well, it does now because I mentioned it.
But it did before you mentioned it. I smelt rose.
Yeah, the ones which have the greater impact upon you, ones you can remember, because they know that you have favourite smells, they dig in there and they really have an effect. But trying to imagine something new, well, you can still do it, but you have to be more creative, you see. Because we have to use imagination. Imagine something you've never smelt before. What's it smell like?
An amalgamation of all the things I've smelt before.
then it's not new. There's something else we do in creativity. We actually rehash the past and put it together in different pieces. that's actually not new, is it? Smell is the most difficult one because it's the smells of our past and our memory are so overpowering and so come so easily. They've gone right into the unconscious and here it is a memory. But notice when I mentioned about the taste and smell parts of the eye, there's no past or future, just oh.
Hmm.
And actually, why would you try and visualize a smell that you've never smelled before? How does that fit with your creation? See, when you're actually visualizing what you want, you actually bring in all the smells you enjoy most because you smelt most of them. You know what's there. Why would you try and imagine something new you've never smelled before? It's something you don't really do normally. It's not really a part of the future you're planning.
Yes. It's like asking those Indians on the island to visualize the ship. Well, they can't because they've never seen it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, the thing is, it was beyond that. They couldn't even see it when it was there because the mind wasn't conditioned to see it.
Yeah. Practice. Okay, let's move on. I'll just ask that one. Sorry. Okay, so from Lynn. I had a dream I was on the ground and could not get up, and a caterpillar crawled in and turned into a fish that flew out of me, and then I heard a male voice speaking. Then I could get up. Was this me losing the restrictive male energy?
It could well be that they came out of you and then you could get up. It shows what was there need to come out. Now, caterpillar turned to be a fish is interesting. Caterpillar is obviously the larval state. It's not grown up yet. What it means then is that the infant in you, the child, that's what bit was controlled, because when you were a kid, you couldn't do what you wanted. You were told what to do. It could be much your father is the male energy that's telling you what to do. Once you've actually come out as a fish, I don't know why it's a fish. I mean, let's do the imagination again, because it's in the water. So the caterpillar is like larval state. The fish is now the full grown up imagination you can now use. And yes, your father's voice had to get out of the way because it was the male voice telling you not to imagine. It was just what's talked about at school. And now you can, yes, now you're free to imagine. The fish is often a symbol of imagination because it's in water, and that's all about the feminine imagination and feeling.
When seeing images of past lives, is it necessary to understand them, or is releasing them out enough? I tend to want to understand it with my mind and see if there is a patron or make sense of it in any way.
It's the emotion that's the important thing. See, when you see that it's the feelings that are holding you back. They're still stuck inside trying to manifest. Now, often when you go into emotion, there's going to be an image and a memory with it anyway. But quite often, when people want to imagine it first, want to memorize it first, it doesn't work because they're not allowing the emotion first. Memory is basically stored through emotions. If you welcome the emotion, the rest of the memory comes. If you try to remember without feeling, you find you can't. So the best thing to do is welcome the emotion. You may find when you do that, the memory will come anyway, you begin to see the whole picture. This is what I thought about in the discreation, as you expand through a pattern. The more you welcome the emotion, the more you begin to the next emotion, the next one, and all the layers of that whole creation. By the end, you come to the end of it, you've understood what it was all about. You have discreate the whole thing. But it starts with the feeling. So welcome the feeling first.
What if you want to visualize something such as a new job in a particular company, and at the same time, someone else is doing the same, plus the decision is made by an external company, by the company itself, which is an external wildcard. How can we influence the outcome by our visualization? Well, what comes to mind for me is mind control. Whoops, sorry.
I'm going to step out of that one altogether. That's how people see things in the male world, when it's about controlling, dominating. Actually, as I pointed out before, the universe is created through resonance, not impact. Impact is like Newtonian physics, billiard balls knock each other along and so on. We realize with energy, and everything's with the energy, it doesn't work that way. Waves don't knock each other along, they blend to form new wave patterns. We don't have to force anything, we don't have to try and make anything happen. I mean, being creative, it works differently. When you visualize the job you want, you don't focus on one particular job that's there, that somebody else is competing for. You visualize what you really want. Now, people have told you this is the job you want because that's what's been presented to you. This is very much the way their imagination is controlled since you're a child. They say, you need this, this, or this. No, I want something else. You have to again let yourself dream here and actually feel. What's my ideal job that I really like? I can imagine being there, enjoying it, using my creativity, using my power, getting lots of money. What's it all that feel like? What does it feel like to come out of the interview and say, you've got the job, and you go, yay! You see the emotions you put into it that make up the picture. And what happened then, I've done this before many times when I've done the visualization, new things come into the picture each day you're doing it because it's like almost you're attaching to something that's out there waiting to happen. And suddenly I see details I haven't thought at the beginning. They're not important, but they seem to be part of the picture. And it might be different from when I started visualizing, but then it happens. The picture starts developing because I'm getting close to that creation. And it might be a little bit different from what I first thought, but then it happens. So when you're visualizing, again, it's going back to imagination, not being forceful. Going to the feeling, what it's like to have your perfect job, making enough money and being successful, all those things, and using creativity and all the things you like to do in that work and that you're going to be enjoying. Going to how it feels. And as you let your imagination play, details appear within that imagination as you go along. And suddenly you find out when it happens, oh, actually those details are there. What you create, what you're imagining was a real possibility that you pulled in. You don't even know what that is to begin with. As you focus on your ideal job, you start pulling towards the right possibility and it comes in. So you need to be a little bit flexible, not fixed on getting one particular thing.
Mute again. Stefan refers to the Never Ending Story, a great movie about imagination. Is there anything that you would like to say about that, Peter?
Yeah, it was a good story. Actually, one thing I liked about it was the luck dragon. They're real, by the way. Not necessarily looking like that, but yes, luck is interesting energy. It's not just in the magic. I remember when I was doing ninjutsu, we were talking about the sixth element. And they didn't have a name for it, it's called sixth element, but actually only manifests as pure luck. Beyond void, we have the four elements, air, fire, water, earth, and there was void. Then beyond that, there was pure luck. When you get to the higher levels of ninjutsu, you learn to work with that because, you know, as Tsubi was saying, the universe is on my side. You know, if somebody tries to attack you and they slip in a wet patch from sweating and it's like they fall over and people even got to you. These things happen when you're actually in touch with the universe and everything's on your side. Luck is actually an energy that's out there and there's a dragon that rules that. Good to attune to that. When you start using imagination, all these things come in which are attaching something real, even though you have an imaginary way of seeing it. Luck dragon, for instance. Yeah. Energy of luck out there. Let yourself be a part of that. Let there be a part of the future you're bringing in. Let it be with you all the time. Doesn't have to be this furry dragon you're riding on, but if you want to, that's okay too.
And if someone would like the attunement to the luck dragon, what do they do?
Imagine it.
Imagine typing out an email to Aziz Shalmanism.
It might be worth creating an attunement. That's it, because sixth element is actually very high level. A lot of people don't get it. Luck is actually an energy that you can pull in, but you know it takes on mastery of the elements to get to that level.
So what are the prerequisites then for this?
Generally, you're getting used to the other elements, air, fire, water, earth, and void. And what those are really are, you know, the air is really all the kind of mental qualities, intellect, intelligence, so on. Water is going to be the emotion. Earth is the kind of more grounding things, the solidity, stability. Fire is the passion and outgoingness and expansion. These are the basic four elements you work with in your life anyway, one form or another. As you understand all the four of those, you actually work with the elements. The void is a potential of which anything can come. You can be put in a state of total void potential, then you manifest the element you need instantly out of that. That's understanding void. It's hard to explain until you actually find something to do with it. And actually, ninjutsu is a perfect illustration of that. When you're in void, you're in that state of no mind, to talk about these. There's nothing there. But when you're attacked, an element will suddenly manifest, whether it can be fire, water, and your technique happens out of that. So you learn elements, then you learn how to produce them out of void spontaneously. Then finally, pure luck would happen without even thinking about it.
And just to clarify, the luck dragon is different from Shahusla, the abundance dragon.
That's abundance, yes. Luck is different energy from abundance.
And does the luck dragon have a spell? We haven't been introduced to them, though, so it doesn't matter.
We haven't, no.
No.
It's not really a spell in itself, but while it's something which begins to affect all your spells, some of the elements are like that. They begin to penetrate everything else you do. If you're being lucky into your creation, then everything you do works better because you're lucky. Things happen out of pure luck rather than because you've actually done something very cleverly to do it. You know, you're trying to do something and suddenly you have the opportunity here, this turns up, things just turn up out of luck. That can flow in your life as well if you allow it to, and let that be a part of your future.
Is there a spell, talisman, or psionic symbol that can build my visualization power incrementally every day to full power that you have, Peter? We all want to be like you.
Okay. Now, you want to be the best of you, not me, because you're a goddess well, remember. You're a goddess well, remember. And you can visualize in your own way perfectly, but there are some tools. We'll be covering more of these tomorrow when we go into the private call, but I'll give you a few ideas now. Something I've used in the past. One was called the Tattvas. You can look these up. These are the Hindu signs of the elements, which are simple shapes and colors, actually made in complementary colors. Like, for instance, Earth is a yellow square with a violet background. Air was a blue circle with an orange background. Fire is a red triangle with a green background. Water was a white crescent with a black background. Now, what you do with these is when you look at them in an under good light, just stare at it for a moment and relax. When you close your eyes, you see the opposite image. Like, for instance, because the red and green are complementary colors, if you look at a red triangle with a green background, you close your eyes, you're going to see a green triangle with a red background. The reason this works is because the astral is the inversion of this plane. When you look at it complementary colors, you're seeing the astral counterpart of something. This is what builds up your connection to the astral plane, which is where your imagination is working. So just by doing that, it's going to develop. What you do is you kind of look at this image, close your eyes, and you'll watch its kind of opposite appearing in your vision just by watching it. All you can do is watch it for a while. And you find after you've been doing that for a few days, you can actually bring it back at will. You can make it bigger and smaller that you will. And this is how it seems to grow in you. Your mind learns to play with the astral and actually play with images and actually have control over them. So that's one tool. Another thing, actually, if you work with flower essences or even just the scent, wisteria. That's the best one for activating your imagination, your visualization abilities. Get some wisteria flowers, smell those, or get an oil of it, whatever you can. That triggers it. And as I said, deep relaxation. The more you relax, the easier it gets. So work with the relaxation more. Or I should say work. It's not work, is it? Relax. Take time to just breathe, relax totally, deep, let yourself really go, and then start visualizing. Have some wisteria next to you so it triggers the senses as well, and everything gets easier. And then practice with the tattvas too.
Can you confirm the name of the flowers, please?
Wisteria.
Wisteria, that's what I thought, yeah. Wisteria, yeah, wonderful, thank you. Mm. Going back up, there was another question for... Someone's recommended that you do a luck magical membership workshop.
I'll have to look if it's possible. I can think about that one. Do some attunements to the sixth element and so on.
Lots of people wanting new talismans. Would you consider making a sales talisman for creative artists to help sell albums and paintings and t-shirts, etc.?
It's all possible, yeah. Yeah, keep writing them all down and I'll stop working on them. Make a whole new range of the talismans, so yeah.
And the void. This is also where the power of the dragons comes from, isn't it? Because you've talked about the void with regards to luck.
Exactly.
And the
essence. Yes. Because the void has all potential before it's formed. It's limitless. If you say if you touch the void, then the imagination comes more easily because things appear out of the void before they come the other elements. Again, that comes from the space of no mind. The void is the place of no mind, as we're talking about in the ninjutsu. When your mind is empty and relaxed and there's no thought, then things come really easily. See how this works. Just try the next time you meditate, before you actually try and do anything, any match or anything, just relax and be still, close your eyes and just be still for a couple of minutes. Let your mind become quiet. You notice in that quietness a few thoughts start appearing. That's imagination too. Whenever thoughts appear, notice how they appear spontaneously, easily, and quietly. If you can do all your imagination that quietly and spontaneously, then you're in touch with that power. Even when you start a mantra, if you first quiet your mind, start with, just be still, and have a few thoughts appearing, you say your mantra just as quietly as those thoughts appear. Spontaneous and easily and quietly. Then it takes you deep. Trying too hard is bringing you back into the beta state. Relaxation, let it be easy and quiet is what takes you deeper. So the quietness is what takes you more to the void. Okay.
From Miriam, Lassaren appeared to me in a dream saying that anything I threw as an offering to the water with pure love whilst connected to her, I would easily manifest in this world. So I was weaving with blue threads all the goals I wanted to manifest. Should I do this in this world as well, or is in my imagination enough?
I do both. You see, the reason we have ritual is because it grounds things. We do a certain amount of work in our imagination, but then we are here and live in this physical world. When you do things ritually that reflect what you've done in the imagination, you're building a bridge. It helps it to manifest physically more quickly. So yeah, do imagine and then do it physically as well.
I know someone that can't see complementary colours. Why might that be? Because you were talking about the colours earlier.
It'll only happen if you're colourblind and there's certain colours you can't see. Otherwise, as I said, don't try and see complementary colours. Let them appear when you look at something and it builds the image in your retina. So what happens if you say looking at this red triangle with a green background? The cones and the pods and cones are looking at these colours. The ones that are first the red will tie up the red, therefore they see green. The ones that are tied up the green will see red because they're tied up the green. It's such a natural process that happens physically. You don't have to try. You don't try and see complementary colours. You take the image physically in front of you, you've got the colours there, and you let it tire the retina. It's about the physical process here. Have a good light behind you so the colours stand out nice and clear. And as you look at that, after a couple of minutes, the eyes are tiring. Then look at something white and you'll see the image, opposite image appearing. It's just there. It appears in the eye, not because you're trying to visualise it. Again, it's people are trying too hard. It's not something you do consciously. It's something that just happens. Because it's a natural state of how the eye works, because the rods and cones are being tired of a certain colour. They get overused. Everybody can actually see complementary colours when you do it in this way. So I said, actually paint these tattvas in nice, bright, clear colours. Look at it under good light for a few minutes and look at something white, then close your eyes and just see what happens. The image will be there.
What does it mean when video game characters show themselves to me and interact with me? Also, dragons and worlds from the digital world, very colourful and vivid, as if I am playing a game.
It's because you played games, so it goes into the imagination. Thinking about it, when you're playing a game, you're almost halfway between the worlds because you're doing what you would normally do in an imagined world. You're in a virtual world. You're not actually in the physical. So the body is switched off. It's not actually physically working. It's all in the mind. So therefore, when you're playing these games and, you know, your mind gets carried away, that becomes this great part of your inner reality, built through unconscious. Naturally, that's the most easy thing that comes back to you when you're relaxing. Then all these images come up. Quite often, it's just hypnagogic images. They're saying the brain releasing its past, all that's stored up. Tensions, for instance, like quite often when you're playing a game, there's a certain amount of tension there because you're exciting, you're concentrating, you're having challenges within it and so on. And there's tension built up in the brain. And when you relax, it all comes out. All these images come back. In this case, you should allow the hypnagogic images until the brain's cleansed itself and you relax. As you relax, you know, they'll pass.
Stefan is saying that there's too much World of Warcraft going on. I had too much Outlander because my fairy friend appeared as the guy from Outlander. So I was watching too much Outlander on Netflix.
See, the trouble with these things is that you allow somebody else to actually dictate your imagination for you.
Yeah.
If you didn't see those things, you probably imagine something totally your own. Well, something when people get to all these games and anime and all these things, it's like, okay, somebody's actually shown you powerful images for your imagination to work on. You actually get saturated with those instead of actually imagining something of your own. It's still work, but suddenly your imagination will be stuck in a certain image. It'll take that form and it'll still work, but actually that's somebody else's image, not yours.
Yeah. A reason to steer clear from any type of media. good question here, because I've often wondered this, Gayatri. What food and drugs cause problems for your third eye and visualization? And my question is, how much of that is coffee? Like, how much is coffee?
It's not the coffee. The worst thing, it's actually fluoride.
Sorry, I was just laughing at Rachel's comment. She's also trying to manifest Jamie from Atlanta. Sorry, everyone. I'll shut up. I'm going on mute. Go back to the diet and drugs and coffee effect.
So the worst thing of the pineal gland is fluoride. Fluoridation from the teeth, from the water, all those things, that's actually calcifying the pineal gland. Simple way to break down is actually get a fluorite crystal. You get a crystal pointy one. Point it gets your third eye for a few minutes, and probably you have a splitting headache as all the fluoride comes out. But then when it's cleared, you find your pineal gland's more active again.
And would you use the same stone to stimulate the third eye?
Yeah, that's more for cleansing because it seems to act on the fluoride and get it out of the system. Try to stimulate. Simple things like quartz will do it nicely. Quartz, obsidian, Herkimer diamond, all the bigger the third eye.
But going back to Gayatri's question, my personal experience is the more exotic and variety and range of foods that you eat and the more caffeine you consume, this does impact your visualization. So it's not just necessarily the drugs, but the type of foods that you're consuming.
Well, they will, yes. I mean, caffeine particularly, because it's actually stimulating you and you want to relax. You're not relaxing so deeply when you're full of caffeine, are you?
Well, I don't know.
Well, it'll stimulate the mind in one way, but again, you're too in beta rather than the alpha and theta states. It depends how much of it can vary, but you know, it's not best for that. But also any kind of toxins in the body affect you, because what happens? The pituitary gland is the hypothalamus first to detect toxins in the blood, and they swell up to deal with them. It puts pressure inside the brain, which actually affects the pineal as well. So any toxins is not good for you. So basically, if you go into a detox, do all the fresh juices and stuff, best thing for you. Clean up lots of raw foods and juices.
And then your visualization will become stronger.
Everything gets better then. Your intuition, everything, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hold me accountable to that, Peter, when I arrive on Monday, won't you?
Right.
Time to clean up.
Put your juices.
It's time to clean up. Yeah. fluorite. So what was that fluorite crystal? Exactly that. It was fluorite, wasn't it,
Crystal? That's right, yes. Fluorite crystal.
Yeah. Stefan, I made a dowsing chart with all the runes. Then I ask and douse what rune today would be most beneficial for me. Is this a good way to go about working with the runes daily? Oh, sorry, that was a non-visualization related question. My apologies.
That's okay. That's fine. Yeah. But yes, that works perfectly. You know, the dowsing will show you what you need and you just work with it. That's a simple way of doing it. Yeah. That can work.
Wonderful. And the next question, I have noticed during full moon, the visualization is at its peak. Can full moon be used to strengthen visualization through the psionics or crystal so that the power of the visualization always stays at its peak?
Oh yeah. Best thing to store the moon energy is obviously moonstone. Charge that under the moonlight and use that. And you can also put that in the psionic chart to actually project it and amplify it more.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Okay, so that is all the questions in the chat. So we've got, well, we're running out of time.
Yeah, we've got another program this off.
5 minutes. So those questions, I do know that we've got a number of pre-submitted questions, and I can also see that the majority of people in the Q&A today are our magic students anyway. So I'm going to defer these questions over to tomorrow's call. Don't worry, if you can't make tomorrow's call, it will be recorded and your questions will be asked. So I'll get those asked tomorrow. And I would like to remind everyone, a couple of links have gone in the chat. First of all, my apologies for not being here at the beginning. The links have gone in the chat. Those of you that are part of the Magical Monthly membership, we've got our workshop coming up in, what time do we start? 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Whatever that time is in your part of the world, I'm not sure. And it is choosing to be a winner. If you have not already registered to get the Zoom link, please can you do so? All of our magical students, the link is here in the chat and it should also have arrived in your email as well. So those of you joining us at the hour, please register. Those of you who have not registered to join us at the hour, but you want to come along, there's still chance. Peter, can you please give one sentence about what this workshop is going to be about?
Carrie, it's at 11:30 in 20 minutes, not at the hour.
Oh, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
oh, sorry, right, we need to finish then. Oh, I've got my timings wrong. Sorry, everyone. Okay. Right, well, so, Peter, what's it about?
It's about being a winner, basically. We've talked a little about in the last couple of months about choice and its power. We're going fully into all the choices that choose whether you're going to be a winner or lose. Put it all together to finally get to the root of it and actually suits you fully into being a winner, basically.
Yeah.
That's basically
wonderful. So if you do want to join us and you're not a student, you still have time to join us. Link coming in the chat. Now, my apologies. I'm all of a tiz-was today because I wasn't set up properly. So that's it. We need to get off the call so we can get ready.
Okay, then. See you soon, then.
Thank you very much, everybody. Many of
you
will speak
to you
now. If not, we'll speak to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Okay. See you later. Bye.